You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Welcome to the School of Influence podcast, where the queen and king of influencer marketing, authors and professors Amanda Russell and Neil Schaefer, cut through the noise and dissect what makes brands and professionals influential. No fluff, just the real deal.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the School of Influence podcast. There are many guests that Amanda has introduced for this podcast, celebrities that I have yet to meet that I've had the pleasure and honor of interviewing. And I have never heard Amanda as excited as she is to introduce today's guest. So Amanda, I'm going to hand it over to you.
Yes. So today's guest is Nikeo, and she is the founder of Nikeo Skincare products, which is like clean beauty, the original. But more than that, you know, learning her backstory and also what she's doing now, I think was so inspiring and exciting to me that I wish this episode could be much, much longer. So to do justice better, I think the story always comes best from the person itself. So Nikeo, I would love to learn a little bit more from you on sort of to tell our audience what, like, beyond the skincare company, which, you know, has been featured everywhere and has the big celebrity following that it does, but sort of where you came from and what you're doing now.
Oh, well, first of all, thank you for that beautiful intro and for having me. And yeah, so I founded my skincare brand, Nikeo Beauty, 19 years ago. I created the skincare brand based on family beauty secrets from Kenya. I'm a first generation American of Kenyan descent and had a grandmother who was a coffee farmer and a grandfather who was a medicine man. And so really grew up understanding the power of the efficacy of the ingredients that come from the continent of Africa. So really celebrating the ritual of kind of the beginning of time where these beauty rituals started through my family. And that's what led me to create Nikeo, because I felt that the continent of Africa was very underrepresented in clean and premium beauty. So I did that 19 years ago. And the company, as many entrepreneurs can probably relate to, has had many kind of stops and starts, and I've had to kind of step away from the business in order to raise money. And being a Black female, you know, definitely had my fair share of challenges when it comes to keeping that business going and growing. Fortunately, the business in 2017 partnered with a company called Sundial Brands, and the company was acquired by Unilever, which then allowed me to kind of see one of my dreams realized, which was for the products to end up on the shelves at Target, which had forever been a goal of mine. And it took quite some time to get there, but that is now where Nikeo Beauty lives. In the summer of 2020, as we were dealing with the global pandemic of COVID-19, we were also dealing with the most heightened moment of systemic racism in our lifetimes, and really powerful time for Black Lives Matter. And at that point, my brand and myself kept showing up on all of the lists of top 10 Black owned, Black founded, top 20, top 30. And while it was an honor to have my brand, you know, recognized and myself recognized as an entrepreneur, it was really built on the precipice of a very heartbreaking time. And it was hard to get excited about skincare sales when we were seeing everything going on around us. And so as opposed to just kind of going down that, you know, deep, dark space of feeling, you know, that I didn't know what to do or how to keep myself, my children, all of us alive, I decided to start shopping those lists and turn that pain into purpose. And through that experience, started to discover all of these incredible brands also created by Black founders that were beautiful, efficacious, speaking to rich family history, ritual, et cetera. And I couldn't believe that after being a beauty founder for 19 years, there were so many brands that I had never heard of. At that time, I was also getting a lot of like DMs from people and messages of support saying, I want to buy your products at Target, but can I use them on my skin because I'm not Black? And I realized, holy cow, there's such a disconnect in the industry happening that I know as a Black woman, I've been using products created by people who aren't Black or brown my whole life, the expectation that they work on my skin and my hair. And I too, as a beauty founder, do the same thing. And so do these founders that are on these lists. And it's time, you know, as we're seeing these great initiatives like the 15% pledge and Pull Up for Change, also being born out of the summer of 2020, I wanted to create and co-create a space where I could celebrate these brands created by BIPOC founders, but, you know, have our own internal pledge, which is, we call our 90-10 rule, which is 90% of all the products that we carry on my new platform, 13 Loon, are created by BIPOC founders, and 10% are created by founders who we consider ally brands, but all of whom create products for people of all colors.
I love that. So would you consider BIPOC like it's a marketplace, but it's also like giving resources and also kind of giving awareness and influence to those that might not have the awareness?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So, you know, for those that don't know, you know, BIPOC is, you know, Black and Brown founders. We refer to them as both. And us as both. And yes, I mean, 13 Loon is the first of its kind, truly inclusive beauty retail platform where we are really dedicated to celebrating and amplifying these Black and Brown voices, people of color who create products for people of all colors. But, you know, at the heart of it, people buy into people before they buy into product. And so it's a space where we can really be storytellers, share the stories of these founders and the reason for being within their brands. But, you know, beauty is universal. Everyone tends to love beauty and it's a way to come together. And so by committing to this 90-10 rule, we're also trying to change the narrative and within the retail industry that everything has to be one thing and that it's difficult to fill your virtual shelves with more than just a few of us, that actually by really dedicating your retail space to understanding that this is what the world looks like and that Black and Brown people are number one and two in buying in beauty. And so we deserve a little bit more of that shelf space and that we can really help to alleviate systemic racism by building generational wealth. And so we're just committed to doing that through the lens of beauty.
That's awesome. I mean, Nikhail, such an inspiring story. And I guess there's two parts to it. What you're doing now, which I think we want to talk more about and see how we can help and get our listeners involved as well, but also how you began. So, you know, there's a lot of brands out there that have probably done, I won't say similar things, but lots of things that really resonate with people. Your story and, you know, bringing the beauty secrets from Africa, you know, over here into product. It's an amazing concept, but you not only brought that concept into reality, but you were successful enough that at the end of the day, you know, were able to sell the company to Unilever, which arguably is the world's largest, you know, consumer packaged goods brand. What do you think, you know, we just don't have the time to go through the entire story, but what are the key things that you think led to your success and building the influence, which now you're able to bring to this new platform and really impact, you know, society at a greater scale?
You know, I think first and foremost, it's always staying authentic to your true story. You know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, I learned my first beauty secret from my grandmother, Nikeo, when I was visiting her for the first time at the age of 8 in Kenya. And she taught me how to crush coffee beans and add oils and use rods of sugar cane to exfoliate my skin. Africa being the cradle of civilization and so many of these ingredients that we see across all brands have long been using things like shea butter and argan oil and things. And for me, when I speak to authenticity, it was really about bringing it back to its roots and giving credit to its origin. And I think that in whatever industry you're in, whatever business that you choose to pursue, if you so choose this life as an entrepreneur, it's really about staying authentic to your own reason for being. You know, even if you have a pizza joint, like, why are you passionate about pizza? How is your pizza different than the pizza joint next door? How is it that, you know, you are going to translate the importance of your passion for what you do with whatever product that you're outputting? And so I think that first and foremost is how you gain influence, because people can see the truth and they can cut through the noise. And I think that's why I'm so passionate about founder-driven brands, because there's a real person and a real story behind whatever it is that you're shopping for.
And I assume then that storytelling became an important part of your branding, your marketing as well, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that that is part of my DNA. Both my parents are educators. My father was an African studies professor and author, and my mom is a dean. And so storytelling was always what gave me that connectivity to my roots as well, because I was a first generation American, a kid growing up here, and most of my family lived across the world. And so the way that my family was able to share of my life experiences and share of their life experiences and share my heritage was through storytelling. So, yeah, I mean, and I think that we as human beings, it's our greatest gift is in and almost our duty and our responsibility to share our stories. That's how we make shifts and how we become change makers is by speaking of our own experiences and helping others to share of themselves and their stories too. So yeah, storytelling is an important part of business always.
And I think it's a great takeaway. Even doing background on you, it was very clear. And it actually was like, okay, mental notes of what you think I should go take back to. And for those listening, is that what's interesting is every touch point of yours, it always starts with your story. And I found that very touching. And actually, when Neil and I were talking about you before you got on, and I said, we were talking about all the various different guests that we've had and which people, what episodes tend to resonate with people. And I said, well, I have a feeling that she's going to be one of the most personable. And I've never spoken to her.
True story. I mean, she's not just saying that.
Attached to the story, right? And as someone, my mother's an immigrant. I'm from Canada, but my mother's from Italy. And that grew up when you were talking about like all these traditions that you have that were like, it wasn't clean living. That's how they lived.
Yeah. Yeah. I always say that.
All the weird stuff that we did.
Yes. It's not a trend. Vogue. Yeah. No, I said that. I say that a lot, that clean beauty is not a trend to me. It's all I ever knew. Right.
Right.
And even growing up here in the States, you know, I remember, you know, going to, you know, being a teenager and getting a pimple and going to the store with my mom and saying, you have to buy this and this and this so that I can get right. rid of my pimple.
And
my
and they're
mom
going, no,
like,
no, no,
no, no, no, we don't have to do that. Yeah. Those things can work, right. But you know, we can also just take some oil and we can do this and we use oil to fight oil. Like all of these things were, yeah, truly just part of my DNA and my upbringing. And so I'm happy for the clean beauty movement because I think it is really about taking the beauty industry back to its roots.
So I'm going to have one more question for you before I go. And that's probably something that every entrepreneur is thinking of our brand right now is, you know, your brand has been on Oprah. It's been on Ellen. It's been in Vogue. I mean, you've had every major celebrity endorse it and love it. And there's a lot of startups sitting here going, well, my story is authentic. How do I get Oprah to acknowledge it? So what was your sort of your strategy, your network in terms of like, how did you partner with or get the attention and not just attention, the trust of these people that get pitched to all of the time?
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, when I graduated from the University of Oklahoma, I moved to Los Angeles and my first job was actually working at a talent agency, at a large talent agency as an assistant. And I spent a lot of time, like probably the first 5-6 years that I lived in LA working at various agencies, management companies, production companies. But what I really loved the most was representation. And so I ended up my last job in working in the Hollywood industry was working at a management company and I worked mostly with the actresses and I was always the first to volunteer when it came to anything that had to do with fashion or beauty. So photo shoots or if they were doing beauty deals and I had so many products coming across my desk all the time for these actors. And I would notice that there would be all these different cultures represented, but never very rarely would you see the continent of Africa. And this was early 2002. Now there's a lot of brands celebrating African ingredients, but you know, I saw a niche, but you know, in the beginning when I started, I didn't have, you know, I wasn't independently wealthy. I raised a little friends and family capital when I decided to leave my job and pursue Nikkeo Beauty full time. And so I raised a little friends and family capital, but had no marketing dollars. So I actually went back to some of those actors who I had worked on their teams and said, hey, will you test my coffee scrub? And will you introduce me to the man that owns the boutique at Fred Siegel, Ron Robinson, used to have a store called Apothea where I launched. And, oh, I need a New York retailer. I have a New York-based actor. Do you know anybody at Jeffrey Hollywood? And I tell you, or Jeffrey New York, And I tell you all of that to say that it's about mentorship and it's about not being afraid to seek mentors. I mean, that is asking for help and seeking mentors is key. And that's how it ultimately got in the hands of so many of these influential people. But it really started from nurturing the relationships that I had the benefit of meeting and working with these people to help excel their careers. And then when it came time for me to start out on this journey, really reaching back into those circumstances, seeking out people within the, I didn't know anything about the beauty industry. I graduated with a business marketing degree. I worked in Hollywood. I'd never worked in beauty or fashion before. And so I found mentors, I found retailers, I found, you know, people who had built brands. And then once you get to a certain level of success, be a mentor and always be focused on lifting others, because quite often when you're in the mentorship position, you learn even more from your mentees. I feel like with all of our brands at 13 Loom that I'm learning so much from some of our smaller brands that are helping me in this next go around with this next business.
Yeah, I know, Amanda, you might have to leave, but I just have one more question, Nikkei, and it's really focused on what you're doing with 13 Loon. And I think it's good, hopefully a great takeaway for audience. So I've actually worked with or currently work with a beauty brand that is also trying to get into the Targets, the Walmarts. And those shelves are so dominated by a few very, very large conglomerates. And I almost think, you know, Black Lives Matter is trying to change the status quo. You almost have to change that. In a very, very similar way. I think the analogy is there. And you've chosen a path of collaboration and really support. Is that, you think, the best way to fight if you're a small business wanting to get out there, you need to change the status quo? Would you say that's one of the most powerful ways of doing it? If any more advice you can give around your thoughts behind that and what others listening can do in that same situation?
Absolutely. And you know, don't be afraid of reaching out. You know, it's so great. I mean, when I started out, with Nikkei Beauty 19 years ago, there weren't really I didn't know of any, you know, incubation programs into some of these larger retailers. I didn't, you know how in the world you could ever get your hands into your products into the hands of, say, a Target buyer. So I asked a lot of questions. Nowadays, if you're sitting here listening and you have a brand and you apply for all of them, you know, I just spoke at the Credo for Change conference, you know, Glossier has their own mentorship program, Sephora, Target, you know, we at 13 Loon just recently partnered with JCPenney. And so we'll be opening 600 13 Loon stores within JCPenney over the next 3 years. And it's really about just, you know, reaching out, asking, you know, when is it, you know, reaching out to buyers. Now with social media, you can get to people so much easier, LinkedIn. Asking, you know, how do I become a brand to be considered? Just don't be afraid to ask and then apply to these incubator programs, you know, seek mentorship, reach out to people who are doing what it is that you've done, that have taken their products like myself from their apartments to the shelves of Target. Like, we all want to share our story. You know, I think generally, and I know this to be true, especially in the beauty industry, is that we want to lift each other up. And, you know, for me specifically, I'm so deeply committed to helping to, you know, increase the visibility of especially Black and Brown founders within the beauty space. And so with that, and, you know, with companies like 13 Loon platforms and retailers that are coming to be, you know, it's really just about seeking out those opportunities on your own. They're not going to just come to you on your own. You've got to go out there and you've got to ask the questions and apply for the incubators and don't lose hope. You know, I think, I always say, if I could do it, anybody can do it, you know, and I truly believe that.
Thank you so much. Yeah, sometimes we tend to overcomplicate things when if we simplify it and comes down to human connection and seeking help, really, you know, back to don't be afraid to ask for mentorship, back to your earlier points. Mm-hmm. Great reminders for the audience. So thank you so much, Nikkei, for spending your precious time with us. I know this is going to impact a lot of people. Yeah. And I look forward to seeing the growth of 13 Loon and hopefully seeing more products and more retail outlets nearby.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the School of Influence podcast. Amanda and Neil would be honored if you spend a minute to write a review wherever you are listening to this podcast to help expose these interviews to a broader audience. Make sure you hit the subscribe button so you don't miss out on future episodes. Even better, build your influence and ours by sharing this podcast on your favorite social media with hashtag School of Influence. We would love to hear from and engage with you.